You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Cranking and swanking with Frankie here. Bruce Ash is here, inside track. 2 hours now.
1 to 3.
My gosh.
On Saturday afternoons.
What's going on this Saturday?
We have local historian David Layton talking about the Randolph or Reed Park Zoo. And we have a show about presidential hair. Our guest, Ted Pappas, in the second hour.
Wow.
And we may have a political candidate or two join us, as we did last week with Heather Lappin, running for sheriff of Pima County. And we had on our friend Steve Spain from your neck of the woods. He crawled out of his corner and came on the show. We'll have him on for a longer period of time here later in the election season.
A couple of you sent it to me this morning. Sharon Bronson has finished her official divorce with the Democrat Party. She came out and endorsed.
She's the Robert F. Kennedy of Pima County.
She endorsed Janet Wittenbraker, yep, against Jen Allen in the general. So the war, it's now the divorce is totally official now between Sharon and the Democrats.
She's divorced from the Democrats, but for sure now she's divorced from the Democrat Socialists of America Party as well.
Again, once she questioned Kazaris Kelly going into her first, that's all she said. Right. Rookie recorder going into her first election, I just have some concerns.
Drop the bomb.
And
they nuked her.
No, Kazaris Kelly. It was Kazaris Kelly, rookie recorder, going into first election, and the Pima Democrats said that basically censured her that she was a racist.
Yep.
Because Kazaris Kelly is a Native American. And
not one of the brightest recorders in the nation.
I've heard rumors of that. Here's the thing.
Or most attentive.
Here's the best part. How many things for 30 years did Bronson carry the water for these ingrates on? This is the best part.
Steve Farley in the same...
means nothing.
If you try to challenge somebody that's part of the movement, you're out.
So Steve, as a state legislator, longtime legislator who carried the water for these buffoons, said, I'd like to run for mayor. But he ran for mayor against the queen. Their little precious Rahina. And
the lady in waiting at the time.
And they pounded the crap out of him. Everything that
$1 million pounded him.
Everything that they did that Steve Farley did for them meant nothing.
Right.
He came on this show and denied reality at times.
Right.
Right. About TUSD and things like this, right? Because he was carrying the water for the Grijalva crime family here, right? Then we have Bronson. I mean, she is one of the voting architects of our doom, right, in this town, right? She helped Huckleberry, Grijalva, Ekstrom, and all the crew run this place. You try to run a county like a city, doesn't work that way. That's why it's always going to be dysfunctional. It just doesn't work that way, right? Sonoran Conservation Plan, not fixing roads, not taking care of parks. Bronson's on all those budgets. She's, and overviewing it for three decades almost.
Right.
Right? She did this all the crap that they wanted. Right? She was out. I was there for Donald Trump's the devil. They had all those. Remember about they had all those, that scam, all those people coming up to the board talking about pulling out of the climate accords,
right,
and the wall. And I remember she was up there with Richard and Ramon. Oh, it's so wonderful you're here. That scam called Worldview, right? All that. She's on for all of that. And all she said was, I got concerns about a rookie recorder going into her first election. And they,
making big changes. The, yep, vote centers and all that.
Yeah, and they threw her into the fire. Just burned her like a witch.
Is this idea ready? Oh, you're a racist.
Yeah.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
Right? Remember we had Lavoy Hurley on talking about maybe you should run concurrent systems for a year and just see how it goes first? So she's like, hey, I got some concerns about this. And they burned her. She went from the grand dame of the Democrat Party to trash in one moment.
Right. That's what they do.
Don't get me wrong. The Republicans have a... We have a lot of Republican violence also.
We do.
Especially right now. So.
But this was 20 plus years of loyalty.
That's true.
That she had proven.
No. Everything the huckster wanted her to do, she did it.
Can we get back to intentional governmental theft?
Oh, that's true.
Because that is Gabe Trujillo and the merry gang at the Tucson Unified School District.
Let's have Matthew play the rest of the way. If you just tune in, Val Cavazos did a great piece on KOLD News, right? Imagine if Bud did a story like this. He would just be in shock.
Oh.
This is a little too rough.
He couldn't do it.
This one's a little too rough.
He'd have a different spin on it.
So TUSD paid almost $250,000 to the state of Arizona repay for misreporting enrollment data in 2021. We don't know what happened in 2022 or 2023 yet as part of this. We found out that their sample of student records... of 420 student records, that 100% of the time the unexcused absences reported to the Department of Education didn't match. So it never matched the physical forms. Okay. And the auditor claimed that the declined attention to managing student attendance always occurred after 100 days, which is whatever your attendance is on the 100th day is what you get paid per head. That's why when your kids are in school, they go, oh, we're going to count to 100 and blah, blah. They do all this stuff. They give free crap away to make sure your kid's there
right
on the 100th day. That's how desperate they are. Okay? All these schools do it. Okay? So Bruce had a good point.
This is theft.
Government just theft.
Simple government theft from a higher authority.
Yep. Let's play the rest of the piece, and then we'll do...
They're talking about criminal charges in Santa Cruz County. Why not here?
Let's do it.
100th day attendance. The auditor determined the current student attendance process is inefficient and prone to errors.
And recommended to reevaluate it. You agree with that?
I agree with that.
And since the current process remained uncorrected, the Office of Internal Audit cannot provide reasonable assurance to the governing board on the student attendance procedures. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's a huge process that failed in this system, and it needs to be reevaluated.
Val's being very nice.
Understand that we have the problem, and if we don't identify what our problem is and the best way to address it, it's going to continue.
Romero says, though his learning curve is high as a new board member, he's committed to digging into what's not working and what's missing.
I found out, the state offers state law. We can have a truancy officer at our schools, but we don't. Maybe that's a solution. Talking to dropout prevention, find out how do we get these kids to be accountable and attend. Well, we're starting to see more teachers and principals reach out, at least to me. I've been getting a lot more.
I talked to teachers who said this should be a high priority. Do you believe that this is a high priority?
This is high priority going on up there with school safety and, proficiency.
The internal auditor wrote that the ADE's report will be merged with TUSD's in a single report for follow-up
Here
audits
comes some magic.
Until there's confirmation that the issues are fixed.
Here we go.
I asked to speak to Superintendent Trujillo on camera. A district spokesperson said they'd only answer my questions via email. I gave them another option to answer questions by phone. But in the end, the district chose only to issue a statement. It's a lengthy response. In a nutshell, the district disagreed with the ADE audit findings. And regarding the internal audit, it's now piloting new programs to address attendance reporting. We have the full statement on KOLD.com. I reached out to all the board members about the two audits, and there's been no response from them except Romero. We're not done digging into this. Valerie Cavazos, 13 Investigates.
Good job, Val. Good job. They just keep saying
somebody doing their damn job.
Yeah, someone's doing their. As I'm telling you, man, if I had five Dan Shearers and five Val Cavazos and three Chris Lambaris's, this could be one of the best communities in the Southwest.
Right,
Matt Neely.
So the biggest problem for me, where they say, "Well, we'll answer your question with a statement." So you give us the question, we'll give you a statement.
Yep.
There's no opportunity for a follow-up question. Can you clarify your answer? Or if they give you something that sounds like a lie, you can't follow up with another question. That's just totally wrong. I mean, Val Romero, give him credit, man. He will sit down, and this is not the first time where he's the only person from the school district on the staff or on the board who will sit down with a reporter and answer questions.
Correct. I mean, think about it. Natalie Luna Rose, Ravi Shaw, and Jennifer Ekstrom are your majority of zombies on this thing. Remember, Ravi Shaw wanted out. He wanted Kozacik's job, and he didn't get that.
Right.
Right? So he'd say, oh, I guess I'll run for re-election again at TUSD. They didn't have a spot for me.
I mean, how much is Trujillo getting paid, and he can't answer a few simple questions?
He's got to be getting paid a
He's had 3 years from 2021.
He's got to be getting somewhere between 200 and 300 Gs.
They've had 3 years to formulate an answer for this. And all they say is it's a lie.
I'm going to tell you something. If I'm Pilar Ruiz and I forgot the other guy's name who's running for school board, this is it. I would be pounding the crap out of this right now. This issue.
Maybe a little late.
I'm just saying, right? I'm sure they can go over to the GO. Oh, that's not going to work either. Anyway, so let's go to break. Bruce and Chris are on the show. They may not be fans. Well, anyway, let's go to break before I get in trouble again. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Our friend Kurt Schmidt put together the Boston v. Foreigner playlist for today. All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Again, kudos to Val Cavazos for this wonderful piece of 6 minutes and 11 seconds of reporting.
Of truth.
Of truth.
Is the truth, truth.
I'm just, and again, these are the same people who kept this under wraps.
Right.
While they were selling you a $500 million bond. Because you wouldn't want this stuff to get out.
No es bueno.
And why, so the question is, has this been reported in public meetings? Right? You would think this is a public meeting kind of thing. So what I'd like to know is from the time from 2021 to now, how many times did Gabe Trujillo and staff put this on the agenda to discuss in public? Because if it's zero, we got a really big problem. If it's seven times, then it's on the elected officials. Right? But then also, this is the new thing with Gabe. Everything is a statement now. He doesn't want to talk on camera. Where's Jennifer Ekstrom? She's the board chair. Val Cavazos reached out to Jennifer Ekstrom, right? The daughter of one of the destructors of Pima County, but she's the board chair, and she refused to talk to Val Cavazos? Is Jennifer Ekstrom afraid of talking to a Hispanic reporter? That's what I think. I think she's racist. That's what I think. Let's go to Roberta. Roberta, you're on with Bruce and me. How are you doing? Roberta. Hold on. Matt, need to hit the button. Start again. Roberta.
Hi there, guys. I'm doing Jim Dandy.
I love it.
Jim Dandy.
I love it. And I just wanted to give a quick shout out to a guest you had on last week. On Tuesday, you had a young man named Caleb, and he has a business, Junk Bandits.
That's us. That's him. Yep.
That's him. Very nice young man. I called him on Wednesday. I called him on Wednesday. He was here on Friday at about 11 o'clock, evaluated our pile of junk, gave me a very fair price, loaded into his trailer, and it was gone by noon on Friday.
I love it.
And what a relief that is to have. He showed up with his sidekick, Roderick, both very nice young people. So, you know, part of me shouting out, of course, is to get the kiddo some more business because he's just, like I say, very nice.
Yep.
But also, there is hope for the future. I mean, these are two young men out here hustling their buns in the heat to do this job.
Yeah, Caleb's only 20 years old. He just turned 20.
Barely.
I know. And, yeah, I know. I know. And he, like I say, he's a hustler. He's a nice young man. And like I say, he gave me a price that was less than half what the trash company was going to charge just to deliver a dumpster.
I bet.
Which we would not have filled the dumpster, but whatever we put in there, we would have had to do ourselves. And neither one of us is spring chickens, and I'm tired of messing with junk. So I will be calling him back at some point when we get more junk. But just wanted to let you know that listeners know he's a good kiddo.
Good, great kid. Junk Bandits, check him out online. And I have a whole bunch of that River Rock from the, you know, like the late 90s that needs need to go. That's my next Junk Bandits project.
Wow.
So. Oh, I never thought of him for that. But yes, I've got a whole front yard of it, and I'm looking at the same thing you are.
Just goodbye.
Goodbye, River Rock. I'm done with you. All right, kiddos, I'm going to let you go, and thanks for letting me on with that little shout-out.
I'm glad you called. That's beautiful. We love shameless plugs. So,
indeed. Thanks.
Thanks, Roberta. Have a great day.
That's a nice call, and he was an interesting interview. And a great service, and he just sounds like a very energetic guy.
So here he is. He's a smart homeschooled kid, right? He likes to shoot skeet.
Yeah.
Right? And he found out that after you get out of your junior shooting programs and you get older, there's no one subsidizing your costs of your shooting skeet hobby. He's like, man, this is getting expensive. And we know bullets got expensive real hard the last few years, right? So he's like, I got to pay for my shooting habit. And that's why he started the business. And now he's got
still living at home?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yep. No, but he is getting married.
I remember he said that.
That's coming up in October, or at the end of September, he's getting married. So
nobody would remember this, but Catalina High School, when it was built in the late 50s, had a rifle range in the basement.
That's true. There's a bunch of high schools that are like that in Arizona and in Tucson. I bet some of the older ones. I bet Amphi High probably had a shooting range in the basement. So, but actually, the new shooting ranges are on Fort Lowell, First and Prince, Speedway and Swan.
Stone and Speedway.
Escalante and Kolb. So we have lots of new shooting ranges out there, Bruce. So, all right, Bruce's top 10. Fifth and Dodge. Bruce's top 10 movies coming up next. Umpire John, my high school in Atlanta had a shooting range. Of course, it's the South. Come on, jeez. But we have what we call here, we call them shooting ranges al fresco. Here in Tucson. So Prince and Oracle has an al fresco one. It's beautiful.
Very sexy.
Just absolutely beautiful. And it seems like a lot of the young users of the alfrescos, all have haircuts like Mo Howard from Three Stooges.
The Three Edgars.
In about a half hour, Ted Maxwell's coming up on Jump In, and he has Fletcher McCusker from Rio Nuevo on in about a half hour. Bruce, we're going to try to get as many of your movies in, but I know you want to do some movies that maybe the average bear...
very few of you probably have ever heard of. Everything is Illuminated. It's a story about a young Jewish man played by Elijah Wood who goes to his...
Frodo Baggins from Lord of the Rings.
That's right. Who goes to Ukraine to go meet his family's roots. And he is taken to around by an old man who is a survivor of the Second World War. This movie is directed by Liev Schreiber. It's an unbelievable movie. Whether you're Jewish or not, whether you're from Ukraine or not, like my family's from, I cry every time I see it. It is a very, very personal, poignant story. It's from a book originally authored by Jonathan Safran. I highly, highly commend it. Quigley, Down Under.
Now, hold on before you go.
Yeah.
So this says it's a, according to IMDb, they say it's a comedy / quirky comedy.
It is, well, there is quirkiness and there is comedy, but it is serious.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I it's on my list. So yeah. you introduced me to something I haven't never knew it existed until you got here. So this is good.
I feel privileged. That doesn't happen very often.
Look at you, big boy. Here you go.
Quigley Down Under. I don't know how anybody could possibly pass it up when you see it on Prime or it comes up on any of the other pay services. I don't care when I happen to tune in, okay? I watch it until the very end. I've probably seen this movie 40 times. The end of the movie where he kills his nemesis in that flick is just unbelievable. The dialogue, the action, it is a story that has a little bit of craziness to it, and it was the song was the title song of Inside Track for probably 20 years. Long before I ever got there.
And this did come up on Mark when he did top 10 movies based in Australia.
Yeah.
And so, very good cast, right? Selleck, Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman played Alex Rickman, or Al Rickman as a cowboy in Australia in the 19th century, and he did a great job.
Laura San Giacomo as Crazy Cora,
and she was crazy.
Ben Mendelsohn's in this. He can't. This is a good cast.
Yeah, it really is.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
Okay, so the next one is kind of a combination. It's my Gene Hackman combo. The Conversation, 1960 or actually early 1970s movie about surveillance in this country, and at the tail end of it is Enemy of the State. Okay, so it's a Gene Hackman
surveillance doubleheader.
Okay, I also the very very favorite of mine is The French Connection. I think it's the greatest police story ever told. It is the best of all chases in Brooklyn underneath the elevated train. I mean, when you see the look on that mother with the baby carriage,
yeah,
is absolute look of horror. His beat up Grand Prix. What a great movie.
So let's get back to Conversation for a second.
Do you pick your feet in Poughkeepsie? Yes.
So it's a Francis Ford Coppola flick,
yeah,
right? Written and directed by Coppola.
Yeah.
You have in the movie Hackman, John Cazale, of course, Fredo, right? Frederick Forrest.
Harrison Ford.
Cindy Williams. Shirley. Not Laverne.
Right.
This has got a great cast again. And I love the storyline because this reminds me of a young Joe Higgins. Harry's a devout Catholic and lover of jazz music. I think that sounds like Higgins.
Yeah. the anti-Joe.
too good. So anyway, and for the idea that this discussion about surveillance, right? And then listening in and then what you're hearing, what you're not hearing. And then there's a paranoia of it and everything. Right. Pretty groundbreaking for 74.
The end of the movie where he literally rips every wall out of his apartment to find the bug.
Right.
And there's the jazz playing in the background. It is unbelievable.
Anything with jazz in the background is going to be unbelievable. So let's go to Bunker. He has his top three Bruce Ash movies. Bunker, buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Shalom, Bruce.
What you got for us today, buddy?
These blow me away. I'll start with the brand new one, Horizons, Blood on the Moon, and The Unforgiven.
All right, let's start with, Bruce, you've watched Horizon twice now, told me, right?
Right.
So what's your take on Horizon before we get the Bunker's take on
it's
Horizon?
It's a great story that's coming together, okay? With the different streams in his screenplay, it is the most dramatic cinematography I remember ever seeing, and you start liking the characters, the main characters, even though you hate some of them. I mean, they are great, strong characters in this movie.
Okay,
it's telling the story of our country.
But watching it in the theater,
a far greater experience. I watch it at home because it wasn't playing in the theaters anymore with my wife and two friends of ours.
Bunker, give me your take on Horizon.
Well, I think this is probably the closest anybody's ever going to come to John Ford. And the staging of the stuff in there, the burning of Horizons, the Apache nighttime attack, Rooker as the old sergeant in the cavalry.
Yep.
He's just classic John Ford cavalry. It's and the movie for me was an instant classic.
Not a great reception by critics or the audience.
No.
It's a work in process.
You know, there's in this issue of True West magazine, there is an article about a speculation about why it didn't go over so well, and it's an excellent article. I recommend people reading it. The one argument that they didn't put in there, which is my take, is that they have, when they were advertising this, they were saying, and this will be on Paramount Plus in just a couple of months. And I have this sneaky feeling in the back of my mind that a lot of people went, you know, I'll just wait and see it at home, you know, kick back, and I won't have to pay $40 for each one of us going to the movies with all the goodies that go with it. And I think that's part of the problem of the initial box office.
Well, especially if you're a Costner fan from Yellowstone, that stuff's getting played on Paramount Plus. You've already used it. So you're right. They should have never said it. It was stupid.
And people were upset because you don't even see Costner until almost 45 minutes into the movie.
Right.
But again, yes, that's the character and the story development.
All right, Bunker, give me one more before I go to break, bud.
Okay, well, this is one of my all-time favorites, The Unforgiven, with Burt Lancaster, Audrey Hepburn, Audie Murphy, Doug McClure, played a crazy old Texan. But this movie is what Texas was like in the very settlement days. It's beautifully shot. John Huston did a job on that. He's a master, and this is one of his masterpieces. It's just, you know, I can't fault the movie.
Certainly was.
And, you know, there's like a sequence in there when they're besieged by the Kiowa, and they're out there, the Kiowa are out there doing their death chant before the next morning, and Lancaster grabs Lillian Gish's piano. They carry it out, and she's out there in the yard playing classical music at full volume. It's just, you know, it's eerie. It's an eerie movie in a lot of ways. I can't say enough about that movie, and it's so forgotten that it's sad.
Yeah, and that is The Unforgiven. Burt Lancaster, Audrey Hepburn. All right, good discussions, my friend, and always. I got to get the break, and then Bruce has got to crank out a few more movies before I let him go.
Let it roll, Bruce.
you bet.
Thanks, Bunker. Great job. 8:44 in the morning. Christy Simone, Bruce Ash, Matthew D. Neely, Esquire. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. And we're doing Boston v. Foreigner. This is a big one, as we like to say, a little more than a feeling. Wake up, Tucson. All right, little jukebox hero. Good work to Kurt Schmidt on the Boston v. Foreigner playlist. Appreciate it. And again, if you want to send us a playlist of bands that make sense one versus the other, let us know. I know Matt is still looking for the Tiny Tim versus Weird Al.
You promised.
One. Yep. You're going to get it. Tiny Tim's version of Inagata De Vita, the 28-minute version, the best. Bruce Ash is giving us the, there he is, old Fletcher McCusker walking by. Haven't seen Fletcher in a while. I will tell you that Bruce is doing a good job. He asked me, there's some movies that we've talked about before, but I want to, just like he gave us Everything is Illuminated, which is great. Let's go on your movie list. Let's go to Dr. Strangelove.
Well, you have to include with Dr. Strangelove Failsafe, because they're both about accidental nuclear war, okay? On the one hand, Failsafe is serious. It's Henry Fonda. It's Dan Hurley. It's Larry Hagman playing the interpreter. And it's a riveting story that I watched as a kid right after the Cuban Missile Crisis. So,
right,
you know, there's a lot of personal...
One has a human being riding on top of the nuke.
Well, the other is Dr. Strangelove, where Peter Sellers plays everybody from the president to wing commander, whatever his face was, and Slim Pickens takes the nuke that's going to go down on an ICBM base somewhere in the middle of the Murmansk Sea in Russia and blow up the world. And you know, singing Yippee-Ki-Yay, and James Earl Jones is the
oh, yeah.
Bombardier. It's a great, great movie. I watched it just the other night. It was my nuclear holocaust Saturday night. I started out with Dr. Strangelove because I wanted a yuck, and then went to the dark place. Okay. And if you remember, with Failsafe, they drop a bomb on Moscow, okay?
Right.
And they also, the United States dropped a bomb on New York City, where the president's wife was, and where the man who actually dropped the bomb, flying a B-58 Hustler, where his wife and him lived.
Wow.
And at the end you hear the shrill, when the blast goes off on top of the UN building, when the blast goes off at Red Square, you hear the shrill because the phone lines are melting. And it is really dramatic.
Wow. Okay. I haven't seen Failsafe in a while, and I do need to watch Failsafe.
Oh, it's great.
Again.
It's
I do
great.
Watch Dr. Strangelove once in a while. The idea that Hollywood even let that movie get made in 1964.
Stanley Kubrick.
I know, but still, just wild.
Great movie. Okay, the next one's Fast. The Family Man. It's a Christmas movie. Nicolas Cage. I love this movie because of Tia Leone. She's hot, she's sassy, and I can't get enough of her. And unfortunately, she played that lefty communist in Madam Secretary. I still love Tia Leone. Okay? I'm man enough to admit it. Okay? It's a great movie, and whatever comes on, I'm watching it. Okay, so we want to go.
So from Family Man, let's go to Full Metal Jacket.
This is the ultimate war protest movie. Okay, and I've been promising you my protest song list. Okay,
that's true.
But this song, love me long time GI. Okay, love you long time GI. This is all about anti-war. Okay,
yep.
Matthew Modine is in this. It's a great flick. We meet the sergeant, the drill sergeant. Arlie Ermey, who just recently passed. It is a great, great movie. If you haven't watched it, another just personal thing. I went to Catalina High School. We're the Catalina Trojans. Our school was called Disneyland in those days,
right?
Because we had all the goodies and the things going on there.
Not anymore.
When we would go, when we on the football team or the swim team, when we'd go into battle, we sang the Mickey Mouse song. And in a Full Metal Jacket in Way City, as they're marching past a bunch of in formation with a bunch of burning buildings, they're singing the Mickey Mouse song also.
So and you're right about war protest, right? But it was also the ugly non-glamorized Hollywood war, right? So there's been a few movies like that.
Yep.
You know, I would say the first one would always be Best Years of Our Lives, right? Because
sure.
It talked about those two friends and
right.
the things that they dealt with, the ugly part of coming back from war, right? And what they experienced. So then you had, in the 80s, we had to do these, Vietnam was
Deer
now.
Deerslayer.
Right?
Yeah, 4th of July.
Deerslayer, 4th of July, Platoon.
Platoon, sure.
Right? But then you got Kubrick doing this. And I think this was the kind of the, of all of them, right, this was showed you the pessimism, the ugliness, the you know of this whole thing.
And Kubrick is one of my favorite directors. 2001's on my list. I didn't include it here. The other one that's on my all-time list is Clockwork Orange, which is another Kubrick film. My wife,
how'd
and
you
I,
like Spartacus?
Pardon?
You like Spartacus?
No.
Okay.
My wife and I first saw. Clockwork Orange at the old loft on the second floor at Park and Sixth Avenue or
wow.
Sixth Street, and it is Clockwork Orange is what's going on today. It's about violence. It's about street gangs. It's about dystopian society. It's about, if you remember the killing and the rape scene, you know, with the older couple. It is hard to believe that he was predicting this 50 years ago, but that's where we are today.
Bill keeps wearing that hat. Remember, make Orwell fiction again.
That's right.
Let's see. What else?
Last Picture Show.
Last Picture Show, that's right.
Peter Peter Bogdanovich movie in black and white. Sybil Shepherd, Jeff Bridges, Timothy Bottoms.
Who's hotter, Sybil Shepherd or Tia Leone?
Tia Leone.
Okay.
She's still hot.
I knew I was walking into that one. So,
and it is this fabulous small story, but I was a high school senior when the thing came out, and it all kind of fits in to my life.
So a group of high schoolers come of age in a bleak, isolated, atrophied Southern Arizona, North Texas town, right, that is slowly dying culturally and economically.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Oui.
Randy Quaid. Randy Quaid. You get a picture of what Randy Quaid, wow, became later in life, with how goofy he is in this movie as well.
Look who's in this film. So Timothy Johnson. Bottoms, Jeff Bridges, right? Ben Johnson, Sybil Shepherd, Cloris Leachman, Ellen Burstyn.
Yep.
Right. Eileen Brennan.
Clue Gulager.
That's true.
I love Clue Gulager.
I can hear Bunker right now. I did three movies with Clue Gulager.
Yeah, I think you did.
So there are lots of coming of age stories.
Yeah.
And I know you were at the same age. You were a high school senior when this came, yeah, out. But what about this one? Because this is fondly remembered. It's Bogdanovich movie. He co-wrote it, but with Larry McMurtry.
Mm-hmm.
Co-wrote this. So what about Last Picture Show that touches your brain and your heart over lots of other, because there's American Graffiti, right? It's kind of like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this was a serious movie. This was, right, a serious movie. And these were people that I could identify with growing up.
Gotcha.
Some of them were goofy like me, and others, you know, were troubled. It was a movie that had a lot of impact on me.
So when you're done with the movie, how did you feel? When you watch this movie, is there hope? Is there despair for you when you watch?
My life's better than their life.
Well, I understand.
But now
that.
I live in Tucson in the 2020s.
Where we have alfresco shooting ranges.
That's right.
I don't know if you know that or not. I can't believe I just came up with alfresco shooting ranges.
Good.
Sick bastard. Field of Dreams. You're a baseball guy. So yeah. Is this?
So I sat in the theater for the first time watching Field of Dreams. With our two boys who both played baseball, and my wife, in the row in front of me was Dick Tomey.
Okay.
Dick and I were crying like little babies at the end of the movie.
Okay.
When he says to his dad, "Want to have a catch?"
Yep.
I mean, it just built up, you know, all through the movie. But it was for a baseball fan like myself, and a dad who was a strong influence in my life.
Right.
It was a big, big movie.
So there's two ways that plays, right? If you had a strong relationship with your father, you, right, feel like, right? But if you didn't have that's the story, right?
Sure.
Is Ray didn't have a strong, right, relationship. So then we had to have Ghost Dad come and do a...
Yeah.
Sorry, I ruined the end for you guys.
there's about three people that haven't seen it, maybe.
But, you know, and then I love James Earl Jones in this flick.
Oh, yeah.
He is so, so good in this movie.
I think this is his greatest movie ever made.
Other than Star Wars. No, I'm just kidding. You're right. I agree. He's amazing in that. I mean, Burt Lancaster is good as Moonlight, whatever, right, his name is.
Moonlight Lane.
Moonlight Lane. But James Earl Jones is the author guy. Really good. And then we got about 48 seconds. Tombstone.
Well, Tombstone is just Tombstone. It is the best of all the Tombstone sagas, I think.
Right.
And the cast is great. They just fit. They completely fit. In their roles.
I feel like the pacing and the buildup to when it finally breaks is the best of all of them. And then the pace after that's so breakneck.
Yeah, and I, right, like the shootout that was actual here in the train station in Tucson.
Right. Agreed. We also have shootouts at train stations in Tucson,
that's
now.
Right.
That's another possible alfresco shooting, right, range. Thanks for a nice
next time.
Next time
we'll talk about Cool Hand Luke, maybe.
I'm there. That's
and the
fine.
Graduate.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
My pleasure.
Have a great weekend. Ted's coming up with Fletcher McCusker in about 10 minutes.